I am presenting these data today for a colleague who couldn't be here. So do my best to answer your questions, but I can certainly connect you with her if you have additional questions I can't answer. So the data I'll be presenting today are related to measure of protective home environment found in the National Survey of Children's Health in children age 0 to 5 and age 6 to 17, and looking at these data by state and also on a national level in race income subpopulations. A quick disclosure at the beginning, the United Health Foundation provides funding every year to our company, Arundel Metrics, to produce the America's Health Rankings report, and the data that I'm presenting here were collected and analyzed as part of the America's Health Rankings Health of Women and Children report. This report was released last September, and we're working on an update for this year right now. And this report aimed to highlight gaps and inconsistencies across and within states in measures of maternal and child health, and include data for women of reproductive age, infants and children, all in one place in a comprehensive scorecard. And this is really the first of its kind to have those data available all in one place. The report serves to kind of drive discussion around issues related to these populations and focus attention on indicators of health that we can really have the most impact on. The report also serves to create a baseline for comparison for states for this first year, and we hope to continue to update the data as time goes on so we can gauge relative performance as well to other states, but also to states' previous performance. So we have a number of models, one for each population, and this is the model for children's health. And it includes measures of behaviors, community environment, policy, clinical care, and health outcomes from the total of about 20 different data sources, including BRFSS, the National Survey of Children's Health, and various other sources. Relevant for today's presentation, these two measures of protective home environment in the community and environment section. So what is protective home environment? It's the environment that a family can provide to promote optimal health in their children. We know from the literature that protective home environment, growing up in a protective home environment has multiple benefits for children, both when they're children and as adults. They have better language and problem-solving skills, they have better development of social skills, and they also have lower risk of chronic diseases both in childhood and as they become adults. So this is keeping with this life course perspective of if we can kind of help set up children with a good family environment to start with, this can benefit them for many years to come. This measure that comes from the National Survey of Children's Health is kind of designed to be independent of income and specific resources such that families with lower income can still provide a good environment for their children. And so in the National Survey of Children's Health, protective home environment is a composite measure of various questions. And there are some differences between what is considered a protective home environment for younger versus older children. So these are the three measures that the two age groups have in common within the National Survey of Children's Health definition. Those include having four or more family meals per week, no tobacco exposure in the home, and watching less than 2 hours of television per day. For younger children, being read to or sung to every day, and whether the child was ever breastfed. For older children, the definition includes having no television in their bedroom, the parents having met all or most of the child's friends, and usually are always doing required homework. So for this measure, the National Survey of Children's Health defines a child as living in a protective home environment if they meet all of these criteria. So the data presented here are only for children who met all 5 for age 0 to 5, and all 6 for age 6 to 17. So in looking at these data, questions revolved around the prevalence of these measures within U.S. states, so how do states compare to each other, but also across race and income. And those race income data are only presented on a national level because we just don't have the sample size to look at all of the states in detail. So as I mentioned, these data come from the National Survey of Children's Health, and specifically data from 2011-2012. We're hoping before the next iteration of the Health of Women and Children's Report that we'll be getting updated data. This were the most recent at the time that we were pulling the data for the report. National and state prevalence estimates were calculated, and the national data were evaluated, stratified by race income subpopulations. So for younger children, age 0 to 5, nationally, 39.4% of children were deemed to meet the criteria for living in a protective home environment. So when you think of it, that's only 40% of children in the U.S., but there's a wide variation of that prevalence based on where these children are living. Mississippi, a prevalence of 24.1%, while Vermont, which was the highest state, at a prevalence of 62.7. So that's about a 2.5-fold difference between states on a measure that really shouldn't be location specific. There's nothing about those measures that necessitates that people in Vermont can do this while people in Mississippi can't. So I think there's it's an interesting way to point out those differences. Prevalence levels are a little bit lower, about half in general, about half as high when you move to the older children. We see kind of similar patterns of distribution across the United States. Again, Mississippi at the lowest prevalence at 10.3%, and Utah the highest at 38.5%. Similar with younger children, but we see kind of this clustering of states in you know, the West and Mountain West and in the Northeast of the United States with higher prevalence, and kind of in the South or Appalachian regions tend to have lower prevalence. Kind of scaling back to the national level and looking across income categories relative to the federal poverty level, see that, in general, the highest prevalence of protective home environment among the white population, and they have a significantly higher prevalence at all but the lowest income level. Again, nationally, we see lower levels overall of children, the prevalence of children living in a protective home environment for children aged 6 to 17. What's kind of striking here is the fact that the non-Hispanic Black population at all income levels is significantly lower than the Hispanic and white populations from this data set. And while with both age groups, there's this trend of increasing prevalence as you increase income, it's much flatter for older Black children. So in general, I think we can all agree from our public health perspective that all states and all families should strive to provide a protective home environment for their children. And there really isn't a reason why some families should be able to do this and others should not. That overall, the national prevalence for both of these measures falls below 40%, so I think we really have some work to do there. And geographic variation in general provides an opportunity for states to learn from their peers and from their neighbors on what they might be able to do to improve some of these numbers. In general, the relationship between protective home environment and race income supports research that has been done in previous areas. We aren't the first to look at this, but I think that in including this measure in our report, it's a good way to help drive discussion around this area and increase awareness of these measures. I think it certainly warrants further investigation into this relationship and what there might be in terms of potential policy implications. Little bit about the report in general. The America's Health Rankings website has all of our reports as well as access to all of the data that can be downloaded and used for your own purposes. We at Arundel Metrics also offer a lot of data support with states and researchers to help you kind of do a deeper dive into those data. We're getting more of the subpopulation data up on the website, but we have a lot of data that actually aren't up there yet. So hoping to improve that, but we're working with a number of states to help them access some of these data. This report, as well as the others that we produce, are all guided by scientific advisory committees with people who are experts in their fields, and specifically these are the folks that helped us with the Health of Women and Children report. So from state-level agencies, national-level agencies, and academics all coming together to advise us on what should be included in the reports, what data sets can help us best measure this, and I think their input is invaluable to us. So I'd like to acknowledge them. And with that, I'll just say thank you. My contact information is here. I'll also be around for the next few days if you have any questions. But if you have any burning questions now, I'd be happy to take them. Yes.
Did you happen to look at all at single adult or households and how that might have impacted the protective home environment?
We did not, but I think I'm pretty sure there are others that have looked at that, but I'm not familiar with the data. A lot of what we do is kind of trying to see what we can do on a state-by-state level, and a lot of those data, just we don't have enough power for that, for those analyses there.
I'm just thinking that a lot of those measures would require supervision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. And I think, so the National Survey of Children's Health and others have designed similar measures with the idea that these should be resource independent, but we all know that it takes resources to do some of these things. It takes time, and a lot of families have more pressing concerns than reading to their child at night, despite maybe knowing those benefits. And so if we can kind of maybe as states and public health people to get families other resources they may need to kind of help them create this environment or free up some time for them and help them with other concerns to help them get this. Yes?
I was curious about the metric on having a television in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. In the last few years, you don't need a television as much as a computer or a smartphone. There are thoughts of changing that
I'm not sure if my colleague Sarah knows more about that, if they're planning on changing that in the future, but I know, so these data are from 2011, 2012. I'm not aware if they've changed that in the survey, but that's definitely, but yeah, there are certainly other ways for children to watch things and have screen time now that were maybe less prevalent a number of years ago. So I think that I would guess that they're at least aware of that, and there's probably a debate on those criteria.
And with the new data coming out, that the survey was surveyed in 2016, and I know that they were looking at screen time. I don't know, the data hasn't been released yet, so I haven't dived into the code book or anything, but I'm curious if that would happen. Well, and that data should be released actually in June or July. So.
It's now Labor Day.
That is good to know.
On the website, it still says spring.
Oh. aspect.
So I was impressed by the variability in your both your state as well as your race ethnic differences in your mix. Did you look at the subcomponents, like what was driving the lowest for the variability across states or across races?
So we didn't look at that. I know in general, I know the National Survey of Children's Health reports that watching less than 2 hours of television per day is the most common criteria that children miss. But we didn't do a deeper dive into those components. But I know that's the one that is most often missed.
Sort of related to that, because I was wondering about that too. I was wondering about selection of the metrics in the first place and whether there was input from the communities that were being assessed, because it's entirely possible those different racial groups or different regional groups have different opinions about what would be a protected home environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe I'm not entirely sure of the rationale for these components, as we pulled right from the National Survey of Children's Health, and this is how they define it. I know I think in the literature there are several kind of somewhat overlapping definitions, but I think the idea was that these are supported by research that having this, the particular components benefits children, and that they're not particularly resource or income dependent, though we see there are somewhat income dependent.
I just know